It's been over 50 days since Governor Whitmer signed that first stay home, stay safe order. For many, that means it's been over 50 days since seeing loved ones, spending time with friends, clocking in for work. Over 50 days of dramatic life changes. Up next on Media Meet, we talk with experts on how to navigate the emotional and physical impacts of these challenging times. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. We are over 50 days into the Stay Home, Stay Safe order. Across the country, the state, and the Upper Peninsula, it's been 50 days of learning how to do things a little differently, or in many cases, very differently. Here on Media Meet, we have talked through the economic side of this pandemic, the educational side. We've talked about tourism and business. We've spoken with educators, musicians, and residents working from home, making masks, those starting initiatives of love and support for frontline workers. We've talked to politicians and business owners, and we, as you, have stumbled our way through all of the changes, the unknown, and we continue to look ahead at the constantly changing horizon. It's a lot, and it at times takes its toll. The emotional impact, the mental challenges, the physical and health impacts, they affect us all. And so today, we want to take a look at yet another side of this pandemic. We're talking through issues relating to health and wellness, a topic that has become perhaps even more important as we're isolated from each other, from our routines, and from access to resources. Joining us today, Deb Smith, psychologist and clinical specialist, personal trainer Travis Alexander, and dietitian Brett Peterson. I want to thank you all so much for joining us. Deb Smith, let's start with you. May is Mental Health Month, part of a national effort since 1949 to combat the stigma around mental illness and highlight support, education, and resources. Right now, there is an increased need for mental health services. Talk about how important this type of awareness, these programs are right now, especially during a crisis of this magnitude.
Well, thanks, Elizabeth. I'm so glad to be here. And, you know, these resources and awareness that we need always about people who are suffering from mental illness and struggle with suicide. These are the top conditions of loss of life worldwide, depression, anxiety, suicide. So we need to be aware of that. And now what's happened is that kind of suffering that's been limited to people with mental illness extends to a much larger portion of the population. People are suffering with anxiety and depression, stress conditions, and having services available and programs available becomes even more critical.
So with so much uncertainty in so many different areas of our lives right now, how do you address that? What are some ways that people can work through some of these emotions?
First of all, you know, as a mental health professional, I want to point out that uncertainty is present in our life all the time. We would like to believe that life is predictable and that we know for certain what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and 5 years from now, but we don't. Now that reality has become very present in a new and very vivid way that uncertainty kind of walks with us every day. And I think one of the first things we can do is acknowledge that, in fact, this is true, that life is about uncertainty. And this is a in-your-face way of showing that. And we have to acknowledge what kind of suffering we have as a result of these situations and these circumstances. The second part of that is to realize that we're not alone. Everybody is facing the same situations, the same issues, the same concerns, a lot of the same symptoms. So this is a humanity issue. It's not just my issue. And I think as soon as we do that, we open a little bit to it not being quite so heavy of a load. And then the third thing I would suggest is that we all have to learn to bring a lot more self-compassion to these situations.
Sorry, go ahead, keep going.
Okay, which really, really gets to be important about our own well-being. It's not something we're used to in Western culture, is engaging in self-compassion, but it's pretty critical to developing resilience, well-being, and strength to deal with these kinds of things.
And Travis, how does exercise play into all of this, physical activity? How important is it to stay active right now, not just for the physical body, but for the mind as well?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing when I've looking into exercise. It's more through this time, it's the mental component. Keeping your body moving, having some type of routine in your day. A lot of our routines, as we know, these last several weeks, people have just lost kind of track of days, time. So whenever I'm talking to all my clients, it's making sure they have a plan, making sure they have exercise to either start their day or pick their day up, because the days mentally can be pretty tough, as everyone's experiencing, and unfortunately some more than others. But, you know, trying to have some type of routine of getting your heart rate up, your mental mindset, releasing the positive endorphins in your brain, you're going to be able to combat and conquer the day. And also, a lot of times when we're dealing with family members, be able to, or friends, and, you know, everyone, you're able to kind of bring a little bit more, like Deb was saying, compassion, level-headedness, you know, because we can take that level of anxiety to a certain extent down to just better balance out yourself and your physical well-being. And that's not only just from health, yes, keep moving, keep your heart healthy and that, but a lot of it's just the mental component. And I can't talk about that enough. And it's been fortunate for a lot of people that they've looked to exercise or getting outside moving to help combat them through these challenging times.
Can I pitch in with that,
yeah,
Elizabeth? I talk about stress and anxiety about our sitting in a car with the car running. It's in park, our foot is on the gas, and the gas is all the way to the floor. That's what these kinds of anxiety-producing and stressful times create for us. And somehow we have to dispel that energy before we blow out engine parts, right? We have to dispel the energy. And one of the ways to do that, and the best way to do that, is exercise. And that ends up being my number one prescription, if you will, for anybody with mental or physical ailments, is exercise to control the stress reaction and get that foot off the gas.
And we're lucky that we live where we do, where we are able to get outside, social distance still, and breathe that fresh air and do exactly what you say. That's a wonderful thing. Brett, now, are there certain foods that we should be avoiding that sort of magnify these feelings of anxiety or just end up making us feel worse?
Well, one of the things that both Travis and Deb had touched on is that when we have anxiety, stress, some of us, we look towards food. And being home, as much as we are, some of us much more than others, that temptation is there. It's always there. When you're in a workplace, you might have a break room, a kitchen, a dining area that's a little bit away from your office. So you can't always just get up and grab that. Being home, that you might be in the kitchen, you might be just away from the kitchen. So that temptation is there. But there are certain foods. One of the big ones is caffeine. And you think about, you're home all the time now. The coffee maker is there. You usually only drink coffee in the morning. Now it's there. It's a fresh pot. You might be drinking more caffeine. Caffeine can increase anxiety. Caffeine can cause dehydration, as it is a diuretic. Anything more than a couple cups, you're going to start losing or become at risk for dehydration. Becoming dehydrated, you're going to lose energy levels, a little more agitated, et cetera. Concentration. It also is going to deplete some of your B vitamins, magnesium. So caffeine is a big one that you want to watch, not only with coffee, but I mean, there's a lot of drinks out there. There's a lot of supplements that have caffeine in them. So you have to be aware that caffeine, too much of it, is not a good thing. Alcohol. I'm just going to touch on it a little bit, but the side effects nutritionally for alcohol, as it leads to dehydration again, as it is a diuretic. Poor sleep, it can affect your immune system. So alcohol is another one that you need to watch and moderate. High sugar foods, what it does is you think about something that has not a lot of protein, not a lot of fiber, very little fat in it. It's pretty much just a carbohydrate or simple sugar. It's going to shoot your blood sugars up, but then it's going to drop it real quick. So eating things that are like soft drinks that are loaded with fructose, snacks, et cetera, that don't have a lot of nutritional value except sugar are going to cause that blood sugar to go up and down. What that can do is lead to energy levels going up and down, lead you to eat actually more. Calorie is a calorie, but if you're not going to have something that's going to take a little bit more to break down, that's going to satisfy you longer, you're going to have those sugar bumps up and down. And when you're down, you're going to want to eat something. And usually those easy to eat snacks are right on your counter. Those are those simple things that you don't have to prepare. You grab, put your hand in it, and you're eating. So simple sugars, try to avoid as much as possible. Getting those foods that are more nutritionally dense to satisfy you longer would be my recommendation as far as watching those high sugar foods. Another thing that's unique to this is, again, your home. You're probably buying things that your kids want if you have kids at home. And as an adult, some of those things you might like yourself. So, again, you're going to be eating. That temptation is just going to be there. So think about as far as what am I eating? Why am I eating? Am I hungry? Drinking enough water. If you're dehydrated, again, that triggers thinking that you're going to eat when you might be just dehydrated. So having that water bottle with you by your work area or with you at home is a very good thing.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Brett. And that's like even with, I guess we're saying with foods and scheduling, you know, it's, I've mentioned to a lot of people, it's like even since we have more time, if you are at home, trying to keep a journal, just try and track your days, how you're feeling, you know, trying to get a little bit, since we do have time to connect with ourselves and plan out your days. If you know you have that temptation, you know, by if your kitchen is close, then planning out meals with your family, foods that you can make, healthier foods that you can choose, because we actually have, a lot of us have more time. Typically where I was going, rushing from work, running home, trying to feed the kids or, you know, or even just yourself. So if you're able to plan out your day and, you know, keep yourself a little bit more accountable and going with a positive, starting your day with a positive mindset and plan, you're more likely to follow through and success will be yours. And at least keep that level of anxiety down, keep that level of you have control. A lot of things we can't control in life going on right now. So if you can control one thing in your day, that could be it.
Yeah. One other thing too with that is where you eat. Limiting areas where you eat. If you're going to eat in the bedroom, the living room, all those other areas, the basement, your office at home, if you limit to the dining room and the kitchen, a lot of times you're going to think, am I that hungry to have to go up and actually go get something? So limiting those areas where you're eating too kind of limits those times that you're eating just because you're bored or you saw a commercial on TV that tempted you. Again, just limiting those areas that you're going to eat or snack at also decreases that calorie intake.
All right. Travis, you know, you've been working from home through all of this, connecting with clients virtually. What has been your experience so far with that as a personal trainer? What's been the message as you're talking with your clients?
You know, working online, you obviously have that separation that I haven't had to master, you know, before nearly as much as I do now. So the best part about this is that you get to check in with clients, no matter, even though we can't see each other, you still get to check in. I typically always spend the first several minutes seeing how they're doing, how they're feeling, how their week is gone or how their day is gone. And it still allows me to connect with them one-on-one, even though you're going through a screen. And I think for a majority of us, like I've been saying before, it's like we're getting a little bit more comfortable or more used to this type of technology use. And throughout the course, the feedback's been phenomenal. I mean, a lot of people are enjoying it. You know, majority of us have some type of workout equipment at home so they can do workouts. And, you know, being a professional personal trainer, we can figure something out for everyone, no matter your fitness level, the equipment you have. So that's been a great thing. And I love it just because it allows people to stay on track through all of this, because there's so much upside down in the world going on, the unknowns. But this, no matter what, when I have an appointment time with them, they get to dedicate that hour to checking in and focusing on themselves, which a lot of this, you know, if you do have kids or you have family members that you're constantly reaching out, taking care of everyone, you tend to lose track of yourself. So, you know, fortunately, personal training virtually online it's a new approach. It's a lot of the same things that we're doing, workouts, yes, but a lot of it's just connecting and creating a time for yourself, which all of us need at least once a week, if not more.
And Travis, go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, I want to add a little bit there, because Travis's conversation reminded me that I also work online with patients, and my message hasn't changed from pre-COVID to COVID. That is, balance is critical and important no matter what, and that we're pretty bad at it even without COVID. And now we've added COVID, and we're still struggling with trying to find balance in a new context. So that's always the message, is self-care, family care, friend care, health, and how do we manage all of those pieces and give them reasonable attention? Balance is really critical.
And, you know, you bring up a good point because we do have so much more time at home right now, so much more time maybe outdoors or with ourselves to connect deeper with ourselves, to slow down. But how do we take advantage of that? How do we recognize that? What tips do you offer to your clients that they are taking those moments?
I just finished a 4-week mindful resilience class, and we closed out that 4 weeks with discussing an intention to actually take time for reflection. Now that we have, some of us have, not all of us have, greater time for this, is really to step back and say, okay, what has this experience taught me? What have I learned from this? What values have I gotten in touch with again? And to begin to think in terms of what matters most to me and what do I want to carry on from here, no matter what the future looks like. We're still, most of us are going to be here, and we have to greet it and we have to make our best of it. So I encourage people to think in terms of what do I want to get up remembering every day for the rest of my life. And we can't get to that place unless we take the time for self-reflection and thought and kind of assessing the situation we find ourselves in and, you know, what surfaces as being most important to us.
And Travis, I want to go back to you because, you know, as you were talking about working from home, so many of us now are balancing how to do that with a family. And I've seen some fun videos that you've done with your daughter where she's working out with you, encouraging people to work out. How have you used your experiences of having three little ones at home to then help your clients learn how to kind of find that balance?
Yeah, that's, I think for me, the one good thing is that being at home more definitely from before, it's really taught me to, you know, as a parent, step back and really truly, you know, look at the whole situation. What are, you know, your kids, what kind of life are you trying to lead? Are you trying to influence them to be more active? They're probably, all of our kids typically are little versions of ourselves. So it kind of makes me chuckle a lot when my oldest daughter is teaching me how to work out. So that's fun. But I think it's being able to make me better as a personal trainer, as a person, to connect with clients who are at home right now with their kids. Because even though it's my job, you still have to make time. And if you can make it fun, you know, being interactive with our kids, especially as they're not in school doing as much. I mean, they have, you know, gym class that they typically go to. So I make, you know, my workout in the morning, I can do one by myself, or then I do one with them, just trying to teach them the values, being fun, being active, and trying to balance all this craziness into a schedule. And with kids, they always keep you on your toes. They make you, you know, they'll make you smile. And, you know, that's why if you don't have them, reaching out to friends, reaching out to family members, you know, if you haven't touched base, it's really, you know, a wholehearted approach to the health and exercise area is just being happy. You know, what can you put into your life, especially that we have more time now, to you know, be healthy, be happy, and just enjoy the moment? Because, you know, coming out of this, I think a lot of us are going to learn that how we allowed our lives to slow down a little bit more, appreciate things. And moving forward, I feel like, you know, even though it's an easy word to say, balance, it's sometimes a harder word to achieve. But I feel like through these times, I hope a lot of people are learning more to do things and take things not for granted and appreciate times.
I think that, Travis keeps triggering things for me, is that, you know, one of the things I'm a big proponent on meditation is including the kids, is teaching them good skills, right? So if you want quiet time, your kids can benefit from quiet time. And whether you do that together or you encourage it separately, you know, cultivating that value and skill is important at any age, and you can do that as a family. So looking for ways to do that can be really helpful.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about human interaction, connection, and I was telling you all before this program that when I see you guys pop up on the screen, I get so excited because it's like my connection is re-energized, and I get really excited to do these shows every week. But it's also, I've realized, it's not a substitute for that in-person connection in those moments. So, Deb, just talk about, you know, this really isn't a replacement. It's doing what it needs to for now, but what more could we be doing, and how important are these virtual connections that we're doing?
You know, it's curious to me that that question comes up, Elizabeth, because pre-COVID, you know, so much of our connection was technical. It was texting, or primarily texting or emailing, and all of a sudden COVID pops up and we begin to connect in more virtual ways, and it really expanded virtual ways. And part of what we're learning by the absence is how important and critical physical contact is, face-to-face. And its connection is important all the time, no matter how we do it. I just read a little bit of research that says that our elderly right now are thriving and managing if they simply hear a voice at the other end of the phone. Doesn't have to be physical contact. Any kind of contact and connection matters. But again, what we're seeing, and I think what's surfacing, is how important face-to-face and personal touch is. And hopefully we can remember that and hang on to that after we begin to resume more interactive kind of lifestyles.
Definitely. You know, right now, even going to the grocery store is being done differently. Families, they're not shopping once or twice during the week. It's once every couple of weeks or every few weeks. And so Brett, when I hear you talk about nutrition, I also think about that it's hard right now to keep fresh fruits and vegetables on hand when you're buying stuff for such a long period of time. How can people make sure they're keeping their meals nutritious? What advice do you have?
One of the things with fruits and vegetables is the alternate to a fresh vegetable is frozen. Frozen vegetables, frozen fruit are fine. If you're going to buy canned, what I would watch for is with canned fruit, avoid anything with added sugar in syrup and juice. What you want to do is get it where it's 100% it's canned in its own juice, not with anything added to it. Vegetables, what you want to do is you want to avoid canned vegetables that are high in sodium. So you look for the no added salt one, or anything that's going to be over 150 milligrams per serving is going to be a high sodium item. So when you're looking at canned vegetables, avoid those. But a good way to do it is frozen. There's also dried fruit. And then incorporating, you know, ways of doing it. I know a frozen fruit, for example, isn't as texture-wise as the same as a fresh fruit. But if you're going to make smoothies or something like that, that is a great way to add in a good variety of both your fruits and vegetables and your plant-based proteins, flaxseed, things like that, that are anti-inflammatory. Smoothies are probably one of the easiest things to do, and it's thinking out of the box as far as what you want to put in them. It's also a great way to connect with your kids, to get recipes from them, your husband, teaching them what these certain vegetables do, fruits do, adding this, how much fiber and what's fiber for and all that thing. I mean, smoothies to me are one of the easiest, most educational ways of showing somebody how to get a good variety, but an easy way. Kids can do it all the way up through adults. So it's a good way to get all those fruits and vegetables in.
Definitely. Deb, you know, there is so much information right now about COVID-19. It can be a bit overwhelming. And then you add in the conflicts that you see, protests, violence. And we know it's so important to stay informed. And yet it's also, I'm going to use the word balance again, it's so important to find a balance. Facebook, Twitter, news programs, press conferences. How much is too much? And what do you recommend? How do people find a balance with that type of information?
Well, personally, I'd recommend that we all shut it off because it just creates way too much anxiety and feeds our stress reactions. But talking about balance, we really need to scale it back to just what we need to know and look at it that way. So safety. What do I need to know for me and my family safety? What do I know related to our security? What do I need to know taking care of my mental and physical health? And anything beyond that is not going to be useful. It's just going to fuel the animal. And the animal is anxiety and depression, or from a different perspective, the animal is addiction, and it's addiction to all of these sources and addiction to information, which can take us out of living our life in this moment. That's all we have is right now. And it can take us away from being able to really engage with what's in front of us, our kids, our family, our creativity, or what's important to us.
And Travis, sometimes I think that information overload, it also makes it hard sometimes to get up and get moving. That combined with maybe dark days, the cold, snow that keeps creeping in about 30 seconds or less, how can people work through that? How can they just find that extra oomph to get up and get moving?
Yeah, so just agreeing with Deb, less is more. I mean, when you're looking at, you know, Facebook, you're scrolling through Twitter feeds, you're doing that. Do not try and be the person. The first thing you do is wake up and you go into that dark hole. So if you're more likely to do that in the morning, then you got to replace it with a positive habit. You got to get up and you're going to exercise. Don't try and put a negative before a positive, because like I said, with exercise, you're going to mentally feel so much better and mentally be prepared. So if you do go through that Facebook or the Twitter or any, or watch the news, you're going to be able to like take that information in and not put a negative spin on it. So being positive, being moving, that's going to at least help us, you know, start off our day better or even pick ourselves up later in the day. Just keep a positive mindset. And that's what I use exercise for.
A lot of really wonderful tips from all of you today, Deb, Travis, and Brett. It's always so great to see all of you. I want to thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it and wish you all the best. Now, before we go today, a few resources to note as we're all coping with the effects of COVID-19. Headspace.com/MI, a mental health resource for Michiganders to access for free during the COVID-19 pandemic. Here, people will find a collection of science-backed, evidence-based meditations, exercises, and content to help address rising stress and anxiety. Also, through the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Warm Line, connecting callers with certified peer support specialists. That number, 1-888-PEER-753, available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. A texting option, Michiganders can text RESTORE to 741741. Trained counselors are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through this crisis text line. And finally, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Anyone considering suicide is urged to call 24/7, 1-800-273-8255. I want to thank all of you that are watching and those listening on Public Radio 90. For WNMU's Media Meet, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe, stay healthy.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.